There are about 40 recorded miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture. His first miracle was at the wedding at Cana. That event and the water into wine miracle have been terribly misused. How some people read into Scripture to the exclusion of others is the reason for many such distortions in our day. Today, Brother Dan Corner is going to take a close look at John chapter 2. Listen carefully. He has much scriptural truth for us.
Jesus' first miracle was his water into wine miracle in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If we examine it carefully, it is absolutely loaded with relevant truth for our day. Unfortunately, this same water into wine miracle has been misused and read into as a basis for serious false doctrinal beliefs, as you will see. The miracle at Cana is only one of nearly 40 miracles of the Lord Jesus that are recorded in the Bible. Let me start by reading the entire account, then I'll come back and we'll examine it in detail. This is John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some of it out now. Take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did at Cana Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now let's take a closer look at this miracle and find out what it does and doesn't say. In John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 it says, "On the third day a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding." The miracle at Cana has no mention of Joseph there or anywhere thereafter. The evidence suggests that Joseph had died, leaving Mary a widow. Also, Jesus and his disciples went to the marriage at Cana, which allows a Christian to do the same by their example. There is also no mention that Jesus or his disciples ever drank any of the wine there, or even that the wine that he made was alcoholic. Every time the word wine is found in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean it is alcoholic wine. New wine is not alcoholic wine. Jesus taught about his disciples not fasting when he would be with them, but after he was gone, then they would fast. He made the point a couple ways, including the mention of new wine in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Jesus said, "Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skin will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Why was that the custom to do that? They did it because new wine didn't ferment and become alcoholic, but will over time, as it also releases gases during the fermentation process that will burst the old wineskins, because the old wineskins have already been stretched out to the maximum, unlike new wineskins. That passage clears up what new wine is. It is unfermented wine like grape juice in our day. Another point is, unlike the Mormons who wrongly say Jesus had multiple wives and got married at this event in Cana, the truth is Jesus was never married to anyone, including Mary Magdalene. At this wedding, Jesus was invited to come. Since no one is invited to his own wedding, it is ludicrous to think Jesus was married there, but such is Mormonism. The opposite extreme of the Mormons on Jesus having multiple wives would be the Unification Church, which strangely teaches Jesus failed his mission because he didn't get married and produce a perfect family. According to them, their leader, Sun Myung Moon, who died in 2012, was supposed the Lord of the Second Advent and was able to accomplish what Jesus couldn't, which is ludicrously false. Moon was a prime example of a false teacher and false Christ, one of many that has plagued our world. In John chapter 2, verse 3, "When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.'" Scripture does not say anyone went to Mary to get to Jesus, unlike how the Catholic Church presents the first miracle of Jesus. They usually cite it to say that Mary is a type of mediator between the people in need and Jesus. The truth is, Mary discovered they were low on wine and mentioned this to the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, Jesus and his disciples were unaware they had run out of wine. It had to be brought to their attention, which Mary did. John chapter 2, 4 and 5 says in the NIV, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." The translation in certain Bibles of "dear woman" in reference to Mary is inconsistent and seriously misleading. It is clearly wrong. The New International Version is poorly translated in John chapter 2, verse 4, as is the Amplified Bible, which also has "dear woman" there. It should just say "woman" in reference to Mary. The Greek word for "woman" used in John chapter 2, verse 4, is also used elsewhere, such as in John chapter 8, verse 10, in reference to the woman caught in adultery. Again, Jesus called Mary his mother by the same term as the woman caught in adultery. Other women were also called by the same term. Therefore, we know with absolute certainty that the term "woman" was not a special term of respect uniquely reserved for Mary. Don't allow Catholic propaganda mislead you, but that is exactly what the Catholic apologist Jim Blackburn is teaching Catholics and others who have made the mistake to listen to him and others like him. Check this out. This is Catholic Jim Blackburn speaking about the term "woman" that Jesus called Mary in John chapter 2, verse 4.
It was a term of respect and an endearment and honor to address his mother this way.
Again, that is blatantly false, which is easily proven to be false by checking the other times the Lord Jesus also used the same Greek word with other women. In Luke chapter 13, 11 through 13, the Bible says, "And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Jesus saw her. He called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God." Folks, that was a woman crippled by a demon spirit who Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Another time it's used is in John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." That was spoken to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Yet another example is in John 8:10. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" As mentioned before, that was the woman caught in the very act of adultery. Then we also have John chapter 20, verse 15. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" That was directed to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Folks, even Sapphira, who was struck dead for lying, is called by the same term in Acts chapter 5 by the writer of Acts, as Jesus called Mary in John chapter 2, verse 4. It is shocking and disturbing how Catholicism has misled its 1.3 billion followers about that term, but there is even more. Besides the shocking and inconsistent misuse of the term "woman" from John chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus' first miracle has been taught to teach that Jesus is in obedience to Mary, and Mary is the mediator between man and Jesus. Listen for yourself as Catholic priest Dan Leary drifts off into his religious fantasy land as he said this.
Christ, in the obedience to his mother, responds by calling her "woman." It may have seemed like a derogatory comment, but what is of great significance, at least spiritually and scripturally, is that Christ will later call this very mother "woman" at the foot of the cross. "Woman, this is your son. Behold your mother." This is of great importance because we begin to understand that Mary is not just the mother of Christ, but that she is our mother too. She plays a role of intercession. She speaks on behalf of her children. She speaks to Christ and says, "They have no wine, they have no hope, they have no joy, they have no forgiveness. Son, perform the miracle."
So Catholics are taught Mary helps to get forgiveness from Jesus, among other things. Imagine that. Here it is again.
She speaks to Christ and says, "They have no wine, they have no hope, they have no joy, they have no forgiveness. Son, perform the miracle."
That is horrifically deadly. If Mary helped us find forgiveness, as the Catholic priest said, the Bible would surely state such, but it doesn't anywhere. There's not even the slightest hint that such is how we get forgiven, and no Catholic can supply a scripture for such. To be forgiven, we must repent. Notice I said repent, not do penance. To repent means to turn from sins. We must believe on Jesus to be saved, and that means to have our faith and trust in Jesus 100% without any faith or trust in Mary too. If we had only 1% faith and trust in Mary, then all 100% of our faith would not be in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says it must be to be saved and forgiven. Such a person would not be believing in Jesus at all. So again, the Catholic message is seriously different and even deadly for all the sincere people who just listen to their priest without reading the New Testament for themselves. Also, please know that Mary is not the mother of the church. We are not children of Mary. We have important information on that subject on our main website, which is evangelicaloutreach.org. Check it out for yourself, evangelicaloutreach.org. The Bible teaches there is one mediator between God and man, and that one mediator is Jesus. Catholicism, on the other hand, wants us to believe a much different message, which is, as you just heard, that Mary is a type of mediator and intercessor between man and Jesus. Here's God's word, which we need to believe to know the truth. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If Mary was really a mediator, as Catholics teach, there would be more than one mediator, but there isn't. Jesus is the only mediator, and Mary is not included in that one mediator. All those errors and even more have been taught from Jesus' first miracle. Amazing, isn't it? As bad as all that is, here's yet a different Catholic priest named Lynn Engayen. Listen to what he said.
Mary knew, as many wives and mothers know, Jesus could not refuse her request.
Folks, again, that is outrageously false, as Jesus did refuse Mary's request at another time. In Matthew chapter 12, 46 through 50, the Bible says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Again, Matthew 12, 46 through 50. In that passage, Jesus did not grant Mary her request and further stated that anyone is on a par with his mother if that person is doing the will of the Father. Again, here is that verse, Matthew 12, 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Another piece of Catholic Marian doctrine propaganda from the distortion of Jesus' first miracle is that Mary is our intercessor. Listen to this from Catholic priest Dominic Savio Murphy, expressed that based on a Catholic misapplication of John chapter 2, 1 through 11.
We have the story of the wedding feast at Cana, and of course the paramount message is that Our Lady is interceding on behalf of the people.
Folks, the truth is Mary is no more an intercessor on behalf of the people than Jairus was in behalf of his daughter who was sick and dying and who Jesus raised from the dead, because Jairus went directly to Jesus without first going to Mary, and Jesus performed that outstanding miracle because of his request. In Mark 5, 22 through 24, we read this. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Another example is in John chapter 4, 46 through 54, when a royal official's son was healed because the father went directly to Jesus, again, with no mention of Mary anywhere. And by the way, that was Jesus' second miracle, which was also performed at Cana in Galilee.
Brother Dan Corner has written a powerful book for Catholics entitled, Is This the Mary of the Bible? If you're a Catholic or know Catholics, this book may help them find salvation. Send 1450 into Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301, to receive your copy free of postage.
So let's move on to John chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 5 is one of the few times we have the actual words of the real Mary in the Bible. I mention the real Mary of the Bible because the Mary most people believe in is a complete fabrication, a myth and an illusion. Mary's words here in John chapter 2 verse 5 are very important. They are from, again, the real Mary of the Bible. And she said, "Do whatever he tells you." The real Mary of the Bible correctly pointed people away from herself and to Jesus, magnifying his instructions and commands. Jesus is always the focus in the Bible, especially for salvation. Mary's words in John chapter 2 verse 5 are not consistent with many Marian apparitions that Catholicism has quote unquote approved. Case in point are the 1917 Fatima, Portugal apparitions, which the counterfeit Catholic Mary said the following, quote, "I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation for all those on the first Saturday of five consecutive months go to confession and receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for a quarter of an hour while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to me," unquote. That is shocking opposition to God's word and even spiritual poison. The truth is, Mary is not the dispenser of grace. We are a confessor of sins to God, not the Catholic priest. The rosary is a violation of the command of God in Matthew chapter 6, 6 through 8. And certainly, no one has to make reparation for their sins to Mary. Mary is not co-redeemer with Jesus. She was not sinless and certainly is not sovereign. We are to have all 100% of our faith and trust in Jesus and 0% in Mary for our salvation based on God's unchanging word. And remember, the real Mary of the Bible said in John chapter 2 verse 5, "Do whatever he tells you." That is vitally different from the Catholic message, which is unfortunately believed by 1.3 billion people worldwide.
Jesus' water into wine miracle is most significant because it is a genuine transubstantiation from the Lord Jesus. Scripture declares the end result no longer tasted like the beginning substance. That is, the wine tasted like wine and not like water. Similarly, if Catholicism really had a true transubstantiation with their Eucharist as they claim, then the host would taste like human flesh and blood, which it doesn't. Let's return to Brother Dan.
So moving on to John chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water,' so they filled them to the brim." This water and the wine miracle in John chapter 2 has often been misused as an excuse by some to drink alcohol. While personally evangelizing over the decades, various God rejectors have brought this passage up to me with their false assumptions. They say, "Didn't Jesus make wine?" implying that drinking alcohol is therefore okay. The answer to the question is, yes, Jesus turned water into wine, but that doesn't mean it had to be alcoholic. New wine in the Bible is really grape juice before fermentation occurs, even though it is called wine. Furthermore, Jesus turned water into wine doesn't change the fact that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such are some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." If you are a drunkard, Jesus' blood will set you free from your sin addictions at the point of biblical salvation. You will become a new creation in Christ, and alcoholism will not control you as it has before. But you must repent, that is, turn from your sins, and submit to follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the faith you need to be saved from hell, one which will set you free from your sin addictions. Now getting back to John chapter 2, 6 and 7, each of those six jars had between 20 to 30 gallons. That means the total amount of changed water into wine was between 120 to 180 gallons. If the wine was alcoholic, then Jesus placed a lethal spiritual stumbling block before the people, which is unthinkable and even impossible. Hence, it could not have been alcoholic wine as we know today thousands of years later. In John chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Then he told them, 'Now draw some of it out, take it to the master of the banquet.' They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. After the water was transubstantiated, that is changed in substance into wine, it no longer tasted like water. It now tasted different because it was different. It was wine. Such is a very important example of a genuine transubstantiation by God found in Scripture. Again, that is a very important detail. Why? Because such a true substantiation is radically different from the kind offered by Catholicism, where the bread and the wine are allegedly changed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ by the Catholic priest during the Mass, but does not taste different like it should. That indicates a counterfeit, meaning the Catholic Eucharist has not been changed at all. The Eucharist should not be worshipped as God, and Catholics do not receive Jesus by swallowing the communion wafer. That in itself is a death blow to Catholicism. That fact powerfully refutes their pretension to a transubstantiated Eucharist. Since the real transubstantiation in John chapter 2 is related by refuting the bogus Catholic Eucharist claim, please also know that the so-called Eucharistic miracles offered by the Catholic Church also need to be touched on. They do not confirm a real transubstantiation because miracles can come from two supernatural sources. In Catholic circles, the best known so-called confirmed Eucharistic miracle was at Lanciano, Italy, nearly 1,300 years ago. Another was in Buenos Aires, Argentina in 1996. The Catholic claim is they were both examined scientifically and confirmed to be genuine. If it's true or not, that's not the issue. Here is why. If the water turned into blood from sorcery in Exodus chapter 7 was examined, it would have been shown to be real blood. Let me read it to you. Exodus chapter 7, 20 through 22. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish of the Nile died. The river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same thing by their secret arts. It was through sorcery that those miracles were repeated. The devil can do that to oppose and confuse the work and truth of God. So the so-called Eucharistic miracles do not confirm the real presence of Jesus in the Catholic communion wafer any more than a burning in the bosom confirms the Book of Mormon is from God. Clearly, the Book of Mormon is not from God, and we have important information on that subject too on our website, evangelicaloutreach.org. Check it out, evangelicaloutreach.org. So from a bogus transubstantiation claim to Eucharistic adoration to the worship of the communion wafer as God, Catholics have drifted further and further away from the message of the Bible. John chapter 2, 9 and 10 says, "The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegrooms aside and said, 'Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now.'" Jesus' water and the wine tasted better than the wine they previously had. It was not the same or equal, but better. And John 2 verse 11 says, "This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." Jesus' disciples put their faith in Jesus and not Mary too, as John chapter 2 verse 11 importantly states. Mary is mentioned, but no one understood her going to Jesus for him to perform this miracle made her an intercessor, mediator, advocate, or dispenser of grace, as Catholicism has misused this passage to teach. That is very important. Jesus was the object of the disciples' faith, as must be the case with us today if we likewise claim to be his disciple. That is what we should get out of John chapter 2 verses 1 through 11, but not with the Catholic slant. With the unscriptural Catholic interpretation, people will be misled to look to the mythical, non-existent Mary in Catholic fantasy land. So let's summarize the points that we just went over in John chapter 2 verses 1 through 11. Christians are allowed to go to a wedding because Jesus and his disciples went to one. There is no evidence that the Lord or his disciples drank any wine there. To cite this passage to justify ingesting alcoholic wine is to misuse Scripture. Never forget, drunkards will be excluded from God's kingdom according to the Bible. There is no evidence that anyone ever went to Mary to get her to present the lack of wine need to Jesus, which is used to make her a type of mediator. That alone is very significant for Catholics. Why? Because the Catholic Church presents this event to wrongly elevate Mary into a type of mediator, intercessor, and advocate for a person in need, even to the extreme of getting forgiven. If another person wasn't involved going to Mary in the first place, those things would immediately be falsified. Furthermore, other people in great need went directly to Jesus, and Jesus performed miracles for them too, with no mention of Mary anywhere. Jairus is just one example, and God's truth says, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Note, Jesus is the mediator. Unlike the biblical truth, the Catholic Church apparently wanted to get Mary in there somehow. So in their teachings, they removed Jesus as the mediator, as the Bible says, and replaced him with Mary. Then they replaced God with Jesus, so they can also teach Jesus remains in obedience to his mother. To them, one in need goes to Mary, and she goes to Jesus, who can't refuse her. What a distortion. Never forget, Jesus taught us all to go directly to him with no mention of Mary. Matthew 11:28 is only one example. That verse says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Sadly, because of religious deception, too many sincere people refuse to do it God's way, and they remain spiritually dead. Jesus said in John 5:40, "You refuse to come to me to have life." One final point about this. If a Christian brings up to a Catholic there is one mediator who is the Lord Jesus Christ, they often agree, but continue believing Mary is a mediator. How can that be? 1 + 1 = 2, except when you're talking to a Catholic about how many mediators there are. They somehow have convinced themselves that one mediator Jesus plus one mediator Mary equals one mediator, which is obvious error. The real Mary, the Bible says, do whatever Jesus tells you. That is very sound and important advice for all to heed. So let's all find out what Jesus said and do it. We need to all agree with the real Mary of the Bible on that point. By the way, I'm not against the Mary of the Bible. I'm just making a vital distinction between her, the real Mary, and the mythical, fabricated Mary that Catholicism prays to, trusts in for salvation, and actually thinks is the mediator and dispenser of all grace and much more. What Jesus called Mary in John chapter 2, verse 4, that is, woman, is not a special term of endearment, as you might have been told. For other women, even the woman caught in adultery, were called the same exact Greek term. Woman should be one of the many titles for Mary known among Catholics, but for obvious reasons it is lacking. Though Jesus turned the water into wine, that doesn't excuse getting drunk. Drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Drinking any alcoholic drink is like playing with a rattlesnake, for one can easily drink too much and become drunk. Don't take a chance with your soul. The water and the wine miracle also, importantly, has his disciples putting their faith in Jesus and not Mary too, even though she was there and they saw the whole thing firsthand. The mother of Jesus is never cited in the Bible as having any role whatsoever in salvation, unlike the way the Catholic Church has presented her.
Remember, Evangelical Outreach is dedicated to the proclamation and defense of the gospel. To share our fruit, please consider praying for us and donating. Also, tell others about our teachings. Thanks for listening, and remember to make your short life count for God.